It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. Hope you're having a fantastic Sunday. That weather is awesome outside for this time of the year. As Veronica just stated, it's probably going to change quickly. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're going down to 31 tomorrow.
Oy.
And snow. And then I looked ahead at the forecast yesterday, and I didn't see anything above 30 for a few days.
Well, the only light at the end of the tunnel, maybe you could verify this. I read somewhere, I think it was in the Tribune, that spring may be coming earlier and better than ever. Did you hear that?
I heard that too. And I also saw somebody post on Facebook the day count. I can't remember what it was until we changed the clocks.
When is that? Do we know yet?
It's usually right around, isn't it right after Easter? So I want to say April 1st.
April 1st, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I know.
And I got to say, thank God for this wonderful, like, easy winter we had.
I could live here forever this way.
It makes me think I could too.
No, you know, Florida in the future.
Right. No California for me either. I've been on the fence for about 9 years of
me
whether
too.
I go back or not. Uh-huh. But the great people of Chicago and the awesome companies here have kept me here.
And it's such a beautiful city, you know, because I'm from California as well.
Oh, cool.
And I, you know, will tell my friends, sure, you know, San Francisco's beautiful, you know, L.A., I'm just not such a big fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a beautiful city.
Really is.
You know, it's just so scenic and so easy to walk around and look at beautiful architecture. And
I don't know about you, the people, though. Like, mm-hmm. That to me, yes, it's a beautiful city, but I've lived in New York and I've lived in Miami. I've lived in a lot of the trifecta, I call it. But I got to say, the people here in the Midwest, and especially here in Chicago, just salt of the earth, good, good people. You
right.
know, I mean, not everybody, but
right,
you know,
right.
for the most part, I haven't really, when I lived in L.A., I didn't have the circle of people I have in my life like I do today.
Right.
And, you know, L.A. is infamous for that, though. Nobody really has friends in Los Angeles.
No.
Unless you do something in the entertainment business, then they're your best friend.
If they need you.
If they need you. Right, right. when they need you is more like it. All right, good stuff. It's good to see you, Veronica. And Ross, how are you, my friend? Ross Cochran.
I'm great. It's a good Sunday.
You feeling good?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, by the way,
Super Bowl show.
I was just going to say, folks, you will hear nothing about the Super Bowl today on my show.
Except for what you just said.
Except for that one word.
Yes.
And then I will say we are having an anti-Super Bowl party.
Yes.
So we're going to have people over, but we're not watching the game.
Not even the commercials?
Not even. I will actually tune in for the commercials. So
okay.
I will be the opposite of most people where we will have the TV on mute and probably or off most
right.
of the time. And then when commercials come on, boom, everyone gathers around the TV and we drink to the commercials.
But other than that, nothing. We're going to be 2 media-free hours.
This is it, folks. For those, and we want to, you know, as opposed to every other show and every other news station out there, right at this moment, probably beating it over your head about
the pregame just started
about
an
that
hour
game.
Ago.
We are not going to do it,
nope.
And we want to hear all of the other anti Super Bowl folks out there. What are you doing now, while most of the world is watching this game?
There you go.
So give us a text or give us a call, 312-981-7200. If you are an anti-Super Bowler like Ross and I are, probably because Ross has to work because you probably watch the game, right?
I'll definitely I'll go home and watch
You're
going to
come watch
the game,
right?
Of course.
So, but at least for these 2 hours,
for these 2 hours though.
You're anti-Super Bowl. So with that, we have a fantastic show lined up. We're going to kick it off with continuing our Wonder Woman series with Pam Paziotopoulos, does that sound
Topoulos, I believe is how she said it. But we'll ask her when she gets here. And I told her in advance that we would say it wrong.
Right.
And then have to apologize
you
later.
You got to prep that, right?
Yeah.
Pam is a legal expert. She actually debuted, 30-something years ago here on
Yeah,
WGN
she just
Radio?
Told us that the last time she was here was 34 years ago.
Wow. Pam's an expert in the world of law, and she's been focusing really and committing herself to reinventing the way people experience divorce, which is going to be a really interesting conversation. If you are about to proceed with a divorce or you're in the midst of it, this is definitely somebody and a segment you want to tune into because it can be really trying and doesn't always have to be brutal. As a matter of fact, you know, people that I know close actually have decent relationships with their ex, which is surprising because you don't often hear that. Yeah, I think when kids are involved, it's a little bit more of a, something you want to keep the anger in control.
Right.
Pam's going to shed some light on that. And we're going to talk about her story. You know, she's a cancer survivor as well. And she has some kids. And so, you know, our Wonder Woman series is all about honoring women here in Illinois who are just doing amazing things and have persevered through tough times and can inspire other women out there who are listening. So after Pam, I've been dealing with some stuff. You can hear I'm a little nasal right now. And everyone in my house is, so I got to thinking this week, maybe something in the house is off.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then I call Ross up. I'm like, Ross, you know, I'm dealing with this whole, everyone's got, like, coughing and sneezing.
Right, and I told you that you were being a baby.
And yeah, right. He slapped me, said, wake up. And then he said, there's this company, Easy Breathe, though, we should definitely talk to, because they're legit, and this is what they do. They specialize in, like, focusing on the air quality in your home, and they have a way to clear it out. So
yes,
I'm excited to talk to
Erica DiCello.
Yeah, Erica, who's going to be joining us around 1:47. And then we'll be talking a little bit more about keeping the house clean with Wells Yee from Fresh Tech Maids.
Yes, cool company that uses, as we would call it on the Frank Fontana Show, home healthy products to clean your home and to clean the space that you're living in. So it's all materials that's not going to damage the air that you breathe or damage your home in any way.
Thank God you know who's coming on the show. Really, you're a lifesaver. And then our favorite dating expert, Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy, is joining us once again. But we're talking about something a little different. Not your traditional dating segment. This is all about dating when you're married.
Yes. So we're going to have Pam talk about divorce, and then we're going to have Bella talk about when you're married.
Right. And I'm not talking about how to cheat on your spouse and date somebody while you're married. I'm talking about actually dating your spouse, a lost art for many, you know? And I know a lot of things get in the way of that, but Bella's got some great advice on how to continue to do that. And we have a lot more after that. We're getting texts in already from our anti-Super Bowl fans, and they're just saying we love the fact that you guys aren't talking about the Super Bowl.
Yes, and right now we're doing a really good job not talking about the Super Bowl.
Right. We can mention the word occasionally, but I'm not going to talk about anything else.
No.
But I want to hear what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you're doing to not get involved and get sucked into this media frenzy and this big game that they call the Super Game.
And you can win some stuff.
Yeah, actually, we got some prizes we're going to give away today. We got a pair of tickets for the Chicago Auto Show. It's happening February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place, courtesy of friends at Fifth Third Bank. And then we have a pair of tickets to the Old House, New House Home Show out in St. Charles. It's happening February 12th through 14th at Pheasant Run Resort. I was honored to be a part of that for a few years. It's a great event. If you're buying a home or remodeling or renovating, looking for good qualified contractors, you want to touch, see, and feel before you buy, great place to do it. Trust me. So we'll be giving away a couple tickets to that as well. So maybe we'll do it. The most creative anti-Super Bowl activity will win the prizes.
Sounds good.
So you can call in throughout the show. We'd love to hear it. We also, at any time throughout the show, you want to chime in with really an interesting anti-Super Bowl story, we're here. We're here for you.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll have more after that. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm so excited for my next guest. As you hear it, she is a Wonder Woman. And we kind of, I don't know where we got our information from.
Yeah, we were so busy not celebrating the Super Bowl that
we were too excited.
We didn't copy and paste the right bio.
That's all right, though. Pam, we're going to screw your name up. So why don't you do it for us? Pam?
Paziotopoulos.
Paziotopoulos. A nice, simple Irish name.
It rhymes with Stephanopoulos.
Stephanopoulos,
right.
There you go. Steve Ross, if you would have told me that, I would have got that.
I'm sorry.
Pam, thank you so much for joining us. If you're obviously familiar with our Wonder Woman series, but this is our series where we like to highlight great women in Illinois doing amazing things and inspiring others. So why don't you tell us about yourself, Pam?
Okay, great. Well, I started my career in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office back in 1990, and I quickly focused on the area of domestic violence. Did that for about 5.5 years. Then I went to Washington, D.C., traveled around 38 states, Indian reservations, rural communities, learning what everybody was doing about domestic violence.
Because in the rural American Indian community, it was rampant at one point, right?
It's rampant everywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It crosses all socioeconomic lines. I'm here to tell you, I've had victims that were neurosurgeons, FBI agents, you name the profession. There's no profile of somebody that can get into an unhealthy relationship.
What is the main cause that you found out? Is it somebody's own internal, because we're talking about mostly male Male on female?
Well, mostly male on female, just because, you know, males, when they're victims, they rarely report it. I'll tell you, males have been victims of pretty bad stalking cases. Women, unfortunately, we can be really good stalkers.
I know. My wife stalked me for months before I
there
married
you go.
Her.
There you go. You probably didn't prosecute her, though. Right?
No, I married her instead.
There you go.
So it's kind of like prosecution,
choices,
I mean.
Right.
She's probably listening and killing me right now.
No, but, you know, it's obviously an epidemic. One out of four women will report intimate partner violence in their lifetime. You remember our state's attorney, Dick Devine?
You said intimate partner violence. What does that mean?
Domestic violence.
Right.
So domestic violence with an someone you're intimate partner
right.
with.
Right.
So Devine, back in 1997, wanted to start a domestic violence division. He brought me back from Washington, and we started the division. It was great. Probably the greatest challenge of my life to try and put a division together.
Sure. I mean, what is that massive undertaking like?
It was massive. I think we had 100,000 domestic violence cases in Cook County. And it's not like you go to the Cook County board and say, hey, by the way, we're going to start this new division. We need 40 new spots.
Yeah, I got the volunteers.
They think like, what are you taking now? So basically, we had to beg, borrow, and steal and get grant money and do all kinds of really creative
things.
How
long was that startup process?
It was quick. It was quick. You know, we started and we just started pulling people and we were off to the races. Within a really short time period, we had Janet Reno coming and saying this is the way to go. This is the way to prosecute domestic violence cases. We went from 20% of the victims coming to court to 80%
wow.
coming and being engaged in the systems. We were able to hold their offenders accountable and keep them safe, you know. And then we started focusing on the woman at work that was being abused. And she's going in and she's getting restraining
by the boss?
Orders. Being at, you know, she's getting abused at home. She leaves her abuser. He doesn't know where she lives, but he knows where she works.
Oh.
He starts coming to the workplace.
Yeah.
She's getting a restraining order, but do you think she's telling her work? Of course not, because she's afraid she's going to be judged,
get fired,
and that happens. You know, so then we've, you know,
couldn't they get the boss in big trouble for doing something like that, for firing somebody?
They do it all the time, I hate to tell you. You
know,
yeah, I mean, it happens all the time, unfortunately. But on the other hand, corporations have really stepped up, and they are creating workplace violence policies, they're training,
sure.
and because they, if you know, one out of four women will be the victim of intimate partner violence. So do the math. Any mid to large size company.
Are we talking physical violence? I mean, what's the level of violence?
Physical violence, that's for that statistic, you know. But then there's obviously a lot of emotional abuse, too.
Verbal, right.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, in the criminal system, you can't really act upon that. You know, not too many people are going to give you a restraining order for emotional abuse.
I got an interesting question. Do you think, or you would know, statistically, does this mostly happen to relationships where kids are involved? What's the stats on that? Is it more with married and with children or not married with children? Do you see more violence?
When there's kids, people stay longer in the relationship, right? Because they just can't go there in their head. Okay, if I get a divorce, I'm not going to see my kids every other weekend. My kids are going to be with this abuser. Maybe he doesn't abuse the kids, but he's just not that nice to the kids
right.
or ignores them or whatever. So they stay in these terrible relationships because they just can't get their head around what it's going to be like if they leave. So I think they stay longer, where somebody that doesn't have kids, easier to leave.
And do you think that harbors resentment as the years go by and then that builds up to potential violence? Or, I mean, are you seeing it at different stages in relationships?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, a lot of abusers, they're really good at it. They're the best daters around. Women too. You know, I had a law clerk recently. He said, you know, I got wrecked by this woman that, you know, definitely had some kind of personality disorder, you know, but they form really quick attachments, right? That's the person in the very beginning that all of a sudden they're your soulmate. They're, wow, like, you know, this
that
is
scares
perfect.
Me though. I got to be honest with you. When somebody moves way too quick for me, that's a problem.
That's
like a red flag right there. Easily.
There
you're right.
There you go. There you go.
So I mean, this is a tough niche in the law world for you. I mean, why did a gal from Chicago just say, hey, I'm going to start taking this on? I mean, it's a brutal. I had a friend in Florida who was involved in domestic violence in law, and it was heart-wrenching a lot of the times. I mean, and it's a difficult aspect of law to take, because I'm sure the first meetings with your clients or the folks that you help out must have been just like a therapy session. I mean, they must have just poured it out on you. I mean, you got to have tough skin for this.
You do, and they have so many emotions, right? They're angry and they're frustrated, and a lot of times at the criminal justice system, when you have 100 cases on your call, you know, you don't have 3 hours to sit and talk to somebody. You know, and I practice some family law, so when you do divorce, you know, have a little more time to sit and get the whole story, but in criminal court, you don't. So that part's, you know, really difficult for them, and just getting their head around everything, you know, it's tough. But why, you asked me why I got into it, and I'll tell you why. So my long last name, I'm pretty Greek, and my family, I have this amazing family, amazing parents, you know, my parents' home is like this really safe place, and everybody loves going there, everybody loves sitting around the kitchen table, and all these women were telling me how they didn't want to go home from work, they hated home, home was a prison.
And even like, with kids there?
Yeah, just because they knew that was so much, you know, it was just toxic environment and it was dangerous and all that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, God, that's crazy. You don't want to go home. Home's a prison, you know. So I really developed this passion for it. And I think, you know, I've had cancer twice. The first time I was 18. And that really
18.
Gave, yeah, I had Hodgkin's
Let's talk
disease,
about that
fourth
for a second.
Stage.
How did you know? Like, what was
so
happening in your life?
Both times I had cancer, I had like these aggressive cancers with no symptoms. So I'm down at U of I. I pledged a sorority. I'm having the time of my life. And I just was scratching a lot. And everybody kept thinking I had dry skin. And all of a sudden, my family physician noticed a popped lymph node. And
what does that look like?
It was just raised a little bit, you know, by my collarbone. And the next thing I know, I go in for a CAT scan. I've got fourth stage Hodgkin's disease.
You're kidding.
No.
At 18.
At 18. So I had to drop out of school. I went through an experimental chemotherapy at the time at University of Chicago. It was brutal.
Lots of chemical
lost
cocktails.
Lost all my hair. It was tough. And I just wanted to keep going back down to U of I to be like, I'm okay, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was crazy.
Pam, we got to take this is a phenomenal story. We're just scratching the surface because I want to hear about phase two of this. And obviously you came back from that as an 18-year-old. Youth and strength came by, and then something else happened later in life with you, right?
That's true.
But we're going to keep people hanging before we we finish that. And I'm going to try this one more time. Pam Paziotopoulos?
Very good.
Very good. Legal expert is joining us. She is our Wonder Woman today. We'll continue with her story right after this.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show, folks. Nice music choice, Ross.
It's one of my favorites.
One of my DJs, Ross Cochran. We're talking to Pam Paziotopoulos. I had it right at the other break,
man.
I thought I got it.
You're so close.
I love Greeks, though. They're my favorite peeps behind Italians. So it's Italians and Greeks. But we're very close in our culture.
That's una raccia, una faccia, right? One face, one race.
She speaks Italian, too. Pam is a legal expert and a practicing attorney, right, Pam?
Yes. I'm practicing some family law now. So I wear a variety of hats. I teach domestic violence in the law at Kent. I help corporations identify employees that might be victims of domestic abuse. And I practice family law. So
that's great. So anybody who needs a good family attorney, definitely give Pam. Where can people find you, Pam?
You know, the easiest is on my website, pampaz.com.
And that's with a Z, P-A-Z, right?
Right, P-A-M-P-A-Z.com.
Pam Paz. Yeah. Before the break, we left off talking about your first cancer scare was at 18 years old. You beat that. And then later on in life, you got struck twice by lightning.
Yep, exactly. No symptoms again. So I'm sitting in a waiting room getting a routine mammogram. And I was getting mammograms for a long time because of my history. And I'm annoyed. You know, it's taking so long. I'm leaving for Greece the next week. And he comes out and he says, you've got breast cancer. And I'm like, what? Like, don't I need a biopsy?
Like right
something?
There? Like, he just came back
right
in the office
and
said.
And I was like, this is crazy. Don't you need a biopsy or more tests? And he said,
second
no.
Second opinion at minimum.
It's that obvious. I was like, what? I just had a mammogram last year. So then, you know, I had surgery. It turns out the tumor's a lot bigger than they thought. It was a really fast, rare kind of breast cancer. And it was growing fast. And they tested the tumor. They're like, you're high risk for recurrence. If it recurs, you know, it's generally fatal. I was like, what kind of a diagnosis is this?
Who is this doctor? Yeah. I mean, seriously, has no compassion. Gosh.
So it was a crazy time. And the worst part was, you know, after I completed my treatment, I had 2 years of trying to be stress free, you know, waiting.
What did they say? Did they say any reason why it was happening to you?
They don't, you know, who knows? There's all kinds of factors. You know, sometimes I had my child at 39. Sometimes when you have a baby later in life, it increases your chances. Obviously, you can't ignore the fact that I had cancer in the past. That could have been a factor.
Right. Was stress high? You think your job and the stress levels
of your job? At the time, I was just doing a lot of pro bono work and working with various task forces. So I was and spending a lot of time with my daughter and the school.
Anastasia, who's here in studio. Hi.
Yeah,
say hi.
Just kind of a fluky, you know, probably my history, the way my body's made up, I'm more susceptible, obviously. Yeah. You know, I'm always going to be at risk for another cancer, too.
Sure.
You know, and it's just, I have to manage that.
Most people have the dormant cancer cells in their body. It's what our lifestyle does to bring it out.
Right.
I wonder on some level what you've done for a living and the mounting pressure of putting together a whole, you know, under Dick Durbin, everything you've done, it's got to have somehow created, you know, an environment that, even though you seem to handle it great.
And you,
I mean, do you think that anything?
No, I mean, I got so much satisfaction out of it. You know, it's funny. You don't get paid a lot of money as a state's attorney, but I woke up every single day. I loved my job. I used to tell my dad, I can't believe I get paid to do this job, to get people out of really crummy situations and get them on with their life and like instill this survival, go out, keep dreaming. You know, people stop dreaming. That's a big problem. You know, you get into these really unhealthy relationships or you get sick and you get stuck and you just can't
out. So a lot of people are in your situation, have been in your situation. In your opinion, what was the difference, you know, what was the motivating factor for you to get up, get out of bed, get it and get after it and keep going and beat this cancer and continue being successful and a great mom? Like, what was your motivating factor?
I just had great examples, role models of just survivors, you know, my grandparents coming over here from Greece with nothing. I had a crazy grandma. She just died at 100, but I'm named after her.
100?
Yeah.
God bless.
She was held up in her garage one night. They had a gun to her head, gun to my grandfather's head, and she wouldn't give them her purse, believe it or not.
Really?
They took all my grandfather's money, and she wouldn't give them their purse, and she's like, you have enough. And my grandfather in Greek's like, crazy woman, give them your purse. And she's like, no, they left.
They left.
But that's the kind of crazy, you know.
You got that fire.
Another grandmother in Greece, great-grandma during the war, two Italian soldiers showed up at her house, and they said, if you hide Italian soldiers, we're going to kill your whole family. She hid them in her backyard.
You're kidding.
No. And so
so you come from the lineage.
So, I have to believe it's in my genes, right?
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
That sort of survival.
That Spartan fire.
Yeah, yeah, and Greeks have that Greek fire about them.
Oh, yes.
Like, we love life.
I grew up with Greeks my whole life.
Okay,
I mean,
so you know.
I do
we
know.
We can't balance a checkbook to save our life, but you know what? We'll throw the best party you've ever been at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My Greek neighbors in New York used to have the biggest block party. They'd open it up to the whole neighborhood, so warm and loving. They'd have a giant pig on a spigot in the front lawn with a big pit. Everybody in the neighborhood would come over. They'd shave a piece of the pork off, give it to people as they walk by, a little bit of grappa and a little bit of... Oh, it was just fantastic.
Well, I think that's the Greek. It's called philotimo, right? Embracing strangers.
Right.
You know, and that's what my parents did that all the time. I mean, I'm not kidding. If an electrician comes over to the house, my dad's house, the next thing you know, 2 hours later, the guy's sitting down, having a piece of baklava, coffee. My dad's got his whole life story.
That's great.
So that's how I grew up. And so we just, you know, I love people. I love life.
Yeah. Well, it explains what career choice you made.
Sure.
Loving, you got to love people to do what you do. You know, I mean, I put you in a line like physical therapists or surgeons where you're in such a high trauma situation and helping people recover and saving lives. I mean, on so many levels, you're like a front line, of that. And that's got to be mentally challenging. So you got to be in a place in your mind that you still have to come home to your daughter. You still got to detach from all that stuff. And be a mom and beat cancer, beat all these things. I mean, that's why we pick you as a Wonder Woman.
Oh, thank
and it's a great example for women out there who are in the same situation as you. I mean, what advice would you give a woman listening right now who is going through it, is having a hard time?
Going through cancer?
Going through cancer and just trying to pick themselves up. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe they lost their jobs. Maybe they're getting abused by a spouse.
Sure.
How do you get yourself out of these tough situations and keep forging forward?
You know, the best thing you can do is you can't do any of these things alone. You need an army of people. And my dad always says, you have to find somebody that's willing to crawl into the foxhole with you when things get tough and get dirty. And maybe they're even going to make – it might hurt them to help you, but that's loyalty, right?
Yeah.
So you get your army of people behind you.
Right.
You don't work with people, you partner with them. So who are your partners? Who are your mentors? Who's going to be your army? Because you're about to walk into hell when you're doing – you know, walking into a divorce, cancer, anything like that. And so – it's I hate to be bringing up so much Greek stuff, but good parea means good company, right?
Yeah.
You know, we all know who those toxic people are, right?
Do you think it's harder today to find the good people?
Well, what happens is your lenses get sharper for the toxic people. You tolerate. I notice the younger kids, younger attorneys, they tolerate the toxic people a lot more than you do when you get older.
Yeah.
When you get older, you just kind of have that radar and you can sense it right away. And, you know, you want to keep those kind of people far away. You know,
it's not how big your circle is at that point.
No.
It's how tight and
how tight
loyal,
it is.
Like you said, these
people
are. It's far and few between. I mean, I got to be, as you get older, you realize that it's really the true people who will go in the fire with you. I could count on maybe three fingers.
Oh, yeah. That's what most people say. Most people will tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, if you have two or three, you're pretty lucky, actually.
Right.
People that are going to do that walk the fire. But that's the most important thing is getting that army in place so you can forge forward and never stop dreaming. You know, I noticed the first time I was sick, I had fourth stage cancer, and there were a couple people that had second stage in my group, and this guy's like, stop smiling, you're an idiot, we're all going to die, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to die.
Right.
You know, I and so some, you know, they couldn't get their heads around.
And you definitely believe that's a fire you were born with.
I do.
I agree with, you know, 100%. I think you're either got that fire. Yeah. you are absolutely right. And I wish there was a way to reprogram and rewire some people, you know, and help them. Because you and I maybe, or other people who have that fire, can see like, oh, if you just did this, you would be there. You would you would get it. But I guess that's what makes the world go around. Is there,
you know what, though? Even those people, right, the ones that's always half empty and toxic and negative, they do gravitate towards people with a lot of energy.
Sure.
You know, and I do think that everybody wants to be helped, right? I really do think, you know, it's just a matter of finding out what's that person's why, somebody tell me, right? You always got to ask, what's their why? What's troubling you? And I like being a problem solver.
Sure.
You know, give me the problem and I'll fix it. You know, so that's what drives me. You know, I love challenges, love the underdog. I'm always going to represent the underdog, you know.
And if you're an underdog out there looking for representation, Pam, you can go to Pam's website. It's Pam Paz, P-A-Z, right?
Right.
.com.
You got it.
Pam, thank you so much. You're a Wonder Woman for sure in our book. And we've got to have you back.
It was an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about breathing a little easier.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's life improvement.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. This is our anti-super game show. Not the super game show, but
yes, a lot of great text. A lot of people are going to be getting calls from me after. The
show. Yeah, I mean, you guys are rocking it out with these anti Super Bowl texts. I mean, I can't even begin to read them. But Ross, if you find, we have like hundreds of them that came in.
Yes,
and people loved your last bump song that you came in with.
Yeah, that's "Mercy Me Greater" for all of you who are wondering. It's one of my favorites.
Fantastic. Let me see if I can find a good one here. From 847, anti-Super Bowl story. In 1985, my husband and I went to a big box home goods store in town we lived in other northern suburbs. I can't even remember the project we were working on. We walked in and were the only customers in the store. Couldn't even find a salesperson. Then we realized it was Super Bowl Sunday. I think we were the only two people in Chicagoland that weren't watching the Bears win the Super Bowl. That's a nice little story.
Yeah, that's a big Super Bowl to miss.
Yeah, we have like literally hundreds of those stories coming in. Ross will be sifting through to find our prize winners here. But right now we're going to shift a little bit of the focus here to talk about breathing a little bit easier. Erica DiCellio is joining us from Easy Breathe. Hey, Erica, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on our anti-big game show.
Yes.
And I know you're not watching it because you're on with me.
That's right. I'd much rather be here. Thank you.
Unless you got it on mute in the background, which is okay.
No.
As long as we don't know. Erica, so tell us about it. You know, I'm having some issues in our house. We have a 108-year-old Victorian home.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful and got its ups and downs, but we love it. And, you know, late I had a mold guy come in and do air quality testing, and everything seemed to be fine. But, you know, with any old home, there's lots of dust and other elements in the air that you just don't know about. And everyone's like coughing and sneezing and scratching and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does this sound like a candidate for your product?
Absolutely. Does it have a basement or a crawl space? What type of foundation is this house built on?
It's an old rock foundation. And it's, yeah, so it's got a partially finished basement. Our laundry room's down there, and then we have an unfinished attic that definitely is needs work.
Well, absolutely. Easy Breathe is one of the, it works best when it's installed in the lowest level of the home. So we find we're most successful in homes that have basements or crawl spaces because we draw the air down throughout the entire home, providing a path of escape for a lot of the toxins that, you know, unbeknownst to us, basements and crawl spaces sort of harbor, and then they get, you know, introduced into the home through natural home performance, like the natural stack effect as things rise. We end up getting a lot of those contaminants into our air.
So is it work with your HVAC, or is it a standalone unit?
Easy Breathe is a freestanding unit, so we can install this in any home regardless of your heating and air conditioning system, whether it's radiant heat, registers, electric baseboard, you know, an HVAC system, forced air. It doesn't matter. Easy Breathe works on its own. It's a freestanding unit with its own, you know, energy source. And what we do is we actually work in conjunction with, I'd say we supplement and we help whatever heating cooling system you have, we help it run more efficiently because it's easier to heat and cool cleaner, drier air than it is dirty, damp air.
And so, all right, just so I'm clear, so does it get attached to the unit, or does it help filter the air going through and up out into the vents in the house, or is it just a completely different system?
It's a completely different system. All we need is an outside wall, any outside foundation wall, and we need a regular, you know, outlet, regular electrical outlet. That's it.
And explain like the installation, just for folks listening. Do your experts come out and install it, or can anybody install it?
Well, it depends on how handy you are. The most difficult part of the installation is really the 6-inch hole that's drilled through generally the sill plate, you know, the part of the house that rests on the foundation wall, usually made out of wood. That's usually the easiest place to install it. Much like a dryer vent, you know, there's a vent on the outside of your house that the dryer exhausts through. Ours looks just like that, except it's 6-inch, most dryers are 4.
Right.
So as long as you have, like, the tool to do that, that's usually the deal breaker when someone wants to do a self-install, which if you're handy and you have that ability, then absolutely, we sell it both ways, with installation or as a self-install.
And so, all right, now this whole thing about sick home syndrome, I've been reading about this because I've just been wondering because all the symptoms here I'm reading is coughing, sneezing, headaches, snoring, respiratory infections, rashes, insomnia. Does Easy Breathe help eliminate all these issues?
Well, we certainly help reduce it. You know, I would be, you know, I'd be remiss in saying, you know, it completely cures any ailment in your house. Because a lot of what we want to look at is where the source of these things. Where is the source of the contaminants in your house? Basements and crawl spaces are huge sources of contamination, but there's also things we bring into our homes and natural off-gassing of especially, you know, cabinetry, furniture, carpeting. You know, we cook, we clean, we bathe, we have pets, we have health and beauty products, hairspray, nail polish, you know, cleaning products, bleach and Lysol, all of these things contribute to a poor indoor air quality.
Mm-hmm.
So Easy Breathe, it provides a path of escape for all of these, where we physically remove it from the house. So there's no expense of filtering or condensing or purifying or UV zapping. You know, that takes a lot of energy and a lot of expense.
And
Easy Breathe simply removes it.
And I was going to ask you, you mentioned it's based in the basement, but how does it pull from, let's say, the second floor?
Well, because we've done testing for our unit over the past 15 years, at first we just thought we were affecting the basement. We had no idea that we made the whole house, you know, had better air quality. But all of our testing indicated that absolutely the basement was much, much improved. But the part we didn't recognize was that the upstairs was improved as well, up to an 85% reduction in airborne particulates throughout the entire structure.
Wow.
So we said, whoa, this is bigger and better than just basements, because that's where our background is. So we started introducing this into the market as an air quality, you know, solution for the entire home.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because I'm often just wondering, like, what with an old house, how much stuff is between the walls, like the old plaster and lath, and, you know, God knows what they put in between those. And we opened up some walls to renovate our house. We found that there was pocket doors that, you know, all these openings and gaps where dust would settle, and, you know, we did some major cleaning out over there. And then we ripped up all the rugs, so, you know, all this stuff just went into the air. And where does it go? You know, you wonder, where does it all go?
Yeah, unfortunately, we breathe a lot of that. You know, we don't realize, as human beings, we breathe 23,000 times a day.
Right.
It's almost mind-boggling to think about that. And we spend very little time thinking about the air quality that we breathe. You know, we're concerned with the calories we maybe eat, and, you know, the quality of the water we're drinking. But, you know, thinking about the quality of the air we breathe has a direct correlation to our health.
Sure. And you're right. It's probably because we don't see it. You know, like, we don't physically see the air in front of us. And I've seen like certain science shows where they actually like put some kind of, you know, camera on that shows like the, when somebody breathes out all of the germs and stuff that follow like 6 foot trail behind them if they're smoking and all this stuff. It's you really don't know what you're breathing in. So, I mean, this sounds like a no brainer that every house should have an easy breathe system. Two questions. What made you get into this? I mean, this is a really niche market in the home space. Why did you choose this?
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is my background is in home improvement, a family-owned basement waterproofing company with over a 40-year history. Hmm. And looking for something to help basements smell better after we went down and we waterproofed the basement and it's no longer wet, you know, we used to recommend standard dehumidifiers that would try to help with the water vapor, the humid space that's below ground. And we've got customers saying, well, it still feels like a basement. It still smells like a basement. We really want to finish this space off. Do you have something better than just a dehumidifier? So we started dabbling with ventilation systems. And, you know, a couple years into that, we actually started manufacturing our own system to specifically address the needs of our customers. And, you know, we were servicing up to 500 customers a month throughout most of the Midwest. So we got a great feedback initially, and those customer service issues where it still smelled like a basement, it still felt like a basement, they went away instantly when we started installing Easy Breathe with every waterproofing job we did.
Wow.
And it wasn't until a few years after that we started recognizing that, you know, people said they don't need their allergy medicine anymore, or Uncle Joe can visit and the allergies from the cats didn't bother him, or my grandchildren can sleep over, they don't cough anymore. And we thought, whoa, what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
And that's when we really went to work and did all the testing that showed us how we affected the air quality and, quite frankly, the lifestyle and the health of the people living in the house. And that's really where my passion lies.
That's fantastic,
helping
Erica.
People live healthy.
And my second question actually comes in from one of our listeners here, from the 630. Does the Easy Breathe system pull out radon gas of the basement?
It does. It's impossible for it not to. The radon levels definitely decrease post-testing. You know, we'll do testing pre and post, and we do see a significant decrease in radon levels because we're removing the air and we're removing the radon from its source.
That's fantastic.
However, I do have to say that radon mitigation has a lot of stipulations to it, so we cannot call ourselves a radon mitigation system. And the one reason is we don't exhaust the air up, like, I think it needs to be 20 feet off of the earth. We exhaust it, you know, 2 or 3 feet above, you know, as far as we can get out above grade, you know, being installed in a subterranean environment. So we're usually exhausting the air anywhere from 3 to 4 feet above grade.
Interesting. Great product. I mean, I come across a lot of home product, and this sounds like something that I'm definitely going to try out in my home. It can't hurt at minimum. Let's just start there. And I think that if it does half of what you say it does, it's absolutely worth it. Where can people find the product?
Well, you can visit us online at EZ, that's letter E, letter Z, breathe.com. Or we have people standing by that can take your call at 1-866-822-7328.
Perfect. And we'll get Ross to post that information on our Facebook page if you have any questions about it. And you could text him. We'll give you that number as well. Erica, thank you so much. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We have news and then more show after that.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
That's right. We're trying to improve your life, at least your air quality, and the overall cleanliness of your home, and how to, you know, create a strategy to maintain a healthy home. And joining us is Wells Yee. He's the owner of Fresh Tech Maids. Hey, Wells, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. And we just got finished talking about healthy air, but how important is everything else in the house to maintain or to create that strategy to keep a healthy home?
I would say it is almost number one on my list.
Yeah.
If you want to go through this winter safely, away from flu and cold.
Because we're in flu season now.
Yes, yeah. Right now there's so many people get sick. So the first thing I would recommend is to open the windows, and even though it is very, very cold. So turn the heat off just for about 3 to 5 minutes. Open the window.
Like every window on the first floor,
yeah,
or just a couple? Like cross-ventilation important?
Yes, cross, exactly. Strategically choose some windows, and I think more the better, because then the efficiency of flow is better, so we can close it and then put the heat back.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And that's, folks, no chemicals involved in that one. You know, it's funny because my wife talks about this, that her grandmother used to, when the babies were sick, they used to bring them out in the cold air for like a minute or two. And they back then they would think it would kill the germs or something. So there must be something to the air purifying naturally.
I heard that as well.
Oh, yeah.
I actually grew up in Asia. And this is a very big saying about this. That is, if there's a snow, then the cold and flu will be under control.
Really?
True or not, but that's what people believe.
All right, so aside from opening the windows, what's other elements in your strategy to keep the flu minimized in the home?
I think we have to pay attention on hand washing.
Mm.
And this is still a very important part of how to combat flu and cold. So make sure that you lather your hand long enough. So there's long enough. Maybe there's a tip I want to share with you. Happy birthday
to you.
Exactly.
The whole song or just the first lyric?
The whole song usually take about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So that will be long enough.
So just about 15 seconds. Most people end up doing maybe 5 seconds, 7 seconds, including myself. I mean, I'm like usually make sure it's all over and then rinse under hot water. Difference of hot water, cold water versus the rinse?
I think the warmer water is better.
Warm,
and also, it's really not about soap.
Yeah.
And too many people pay too much attention on what kind of soap they use, but it's actually the key driver here is time.
Yeah, I was at, and Ross, maybe you can confirm this because your wife's a nurse, but when we had our baby, the NICU nurse, because my son was in there just for a brief time, she made a comment to me, like, we were washing her hands constantly. She's like, listen, here's a little secret. Heat, if you just rubbed your hands together enough, will kill most of the bacteria without even soap or water. If you just like did this for 5 minutes, whatever, 3 minutes. Is that, mm-hmm. you think there's any validity to that?
Yeah, I think my wife always makes fun of me because I have the immune system of a baby.
Yeah.
I have just very weak immune system. And she always says it's because my parents didn't let me play around in the dirt enough.
Right.
And because of that, I wound up, you know, not really with that strong immune system. I think there's absolutely such a thing as you get chemically too clean, and as a result, wind up being susceptible to something that, like, if all you did was rub your hands together, you'd be fine.
Well, as you were talking about this off air, mm-hmm. that one of the problems today is people overclean in their home, right?
Yes. And we want to have a healthy amount of bacteria and literally germ and with us so that our immune system is challenged so we can handle the right amount of attack.
Right.
So it's not too little is not good. Too much is also not good.
Right. So going around Lysoling your entire house is probably not a good idea.
No.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got on your list?
I think that after the go back to the air, when we talk about the air, we have to think about when people clean, they need to change their vacuum bags frequently. Mm. And sometimes
I know a lot of people listening don't do that.
Because that impact your air directly. If there's too many things there, it's less efficient in terms of cleaning, but also potentially have more pollutant come to your air.
Got it.
The other one is the air filter of your home. When we talk about air, we have
very important.
Yeah, we have to make sure that you have a good quality of air filter as well as the frequency of change.
How often do you recommend changing?
And during the flu season, I would say that 3 or 4 weeks.
That's Every three or four weeks,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. During the flu season.
Do you know how long the virus will stay alive in the house?
I think the test is showing that they stay longer in hard surfaces.
Okay.
And some can up to 48 hours.
Oh, all right. So yeah. but not like a week or more than, like 2 days max.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's good to know. Because we got all sorts of sick people coming over today. It's going to be fun. My wife will be Lysoling. But I'll only have her Lysol half the house just to keep it safe. Anything else you got for us?
Then we have to pay attention on the germ centers of your home and beyond the hand washing and the air quality of your home. And then, for example, like sponges is a big part of it. So many homes have sponges, actually have so many bacteria. Then you use that to wash dishes, then eat from there, obviously very dangerous. So make sure that you know how to clean sponges. So one way, obviously, exchange it, change a new one when you use it for a while. But you can also pay attention on sanitizing it by boiling it in the water.
Oh.
Yeah, or put it in the microwave with moisture, a little bit of water inside, then run the cycle. So then it's going to, like in microwave, it's going to heat up and kill the germs.
Got it. And then I also heard you could throw them in the dishwasher too sometimes.
Yes.
Okay.
That will really work with all the plates and
So, well, we're unfortunately running out of time. We'll post the rest of your list to Facebook, and I want to let people know how they can get in touch with your company because you guys do a bang up job of doing chemical free cleaning, which is super important. Where can people find more information about you?
We have online booking. You can book online in 60 seconds at
freshtechmaids.com. That's freshtechmaids.com. You can book online, and then like as soon as they'll come out tomorrow, or
yes, if the schedule is there, we do allow beyond 24-hour booking, or you can call us at 847-392-0888.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Great stuff. All right, folks, we'll have more right after the break. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday Show. I'm your host, Frank Fontana. And we just cleansed. I feel cleansed, Ross. That was the goal. I could breathe better. The microphone's not full of germs. And now we're going to shift focus. Bella Gandhi just walked in. She's laughing at me. Bella, how are you?
I'm good.
You have no idea what we're talking about, right?
I'm glad. I was listening, so I'm glad that we have cleansed microphones.
We're cleansed. We're all cleansed. Bella Gandhi's here from the Smart Dating Academy. If you heard me at the top of the show, we're talking about how to date when you're married. And no, it's not about how to sneak around on your spouse. It's about to actually date your spouse.
Right. It's not about getting on Tinder behind your spouse's back.
Sure. But I'm sure you could give advice on that if you wanted to.
Don't do it.
That's her advice is don't do it. Bella, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to have you back. I'm good.
It's good to be back. Yeah. I love your show.
Thank you. I love you on the show.
Thank you.
So what do you do, Bella, for the one person that doesn't know who you are out there listening?
So I am the president of Smart Dating Academy, and we help everybody find love. Everybody that wants it, whether you're in your 20s and you're just getting frustrated because you want to get married and have kids, or you're, 50, 60, 70 years old, out of divorce, maybe widowed, going, do I dip my toe back into the water? We help people build their confidence, and we help you to get online, meet people in real life, make sure you're dating well, getting that second, third, fourth date, and then find happy love.
And I know that's your expertise, but last time you were on the show, we ended the show talking about how much lack of dating there is in married life.
There can be. That's right.
And you're married. And,
yes.
Right?
And, long time.
Long time. I'm married. Ross is married. And we're all different stages of our marriage and life. And I have young kids at home. So the idea of dating is a bonus that happens occasionally when the kids allow us to.
And what's your favorite date?
We have a little Italian restaurant that we like to go to,
okay.
like the Billy Joel song. and it's not in New York, but it's here in Chicago. And we just, that's our spot. Like, we go, have a couple cocktails, try not to talk about anything kids, and just connect a little bit.
You pretend you're her boyfriend again.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's what I tell people. Pretend, like, ladies, pretend you're his girlfriend again. What were you like when you were his girlfriend? Very different, probably, than, you know, married for 5, 10, or 15 years. And the Italian restaurant sounds great, but if you want a good little tip to build a little adrenaline, which builds attraction,
sure.
Pick a new place. Do something novel. When you do something new together, even a new restaurant, a new type of food that you've never tried, maybe take a cooking class together. That generates excitement, adrenaline, and you never know what's going to happen later.
A simple but great idea, you know, because you get in your comfort zone and you know the bartender, you know the staff, you know the owners, and it's very comfortable for us to go there and we get treated well. But I like that idea of mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, mix it up. And here's another interesting thing you can do. So if you pick your date night, instead of getting ready in the same bathroom, get ready at different times. You know, don't shave in front of her. Don't shave in front of him. Actually, again, you're dating. When you were on a date, you didn't see each other until you actually arrived at the place, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's like kind of surprise each other.
It's putting the curtain back up.
Putting the curtain back up a little bit, right? Close the door when you pee. You know, it's like...
Really? I mean, do we even have a door? Listen, I have a 1.5-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old boy, okay? There is no, privacy.
Door.
There is no... you have no idea. Well, you do. You have children. I mean, it's gone. I mean, so it's hard to set that back up, but what I mean, I want to hear from you, like, all right, we do, when we can, get that data, finding a staff, let's call them, to actually watch our children or babysitters is as far and few between. I don't know why. I feel like the babysitting clan of today's world is not deep. You know, our pool, at least, is not deep of people willing to babysit. And we're willing to pay good money, let me just tell you.
Wow.
You know, and just because we never get the opportunity.
Sure.
And that's partly my wife's fault, too, because she, you know, had a hard time leaving the kids at first. And now we're getting to a place where she kind of wants to.
Oh, yeah. And it's good for the kids, too.
It is. It really is.
You know, they see you leave, but then they see you come back in a couple of hours. It's healthy.
Right. So my wife's kind of catching on that I specifically brought you here just so you could talk to her on the show. So, honey, call in 312-981-7200.
I'll give you the name of my sitter as well.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff coming out. We're going to be shooting a new TV show soon. She's actually going to be on it with me.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Big.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, since the last time you were here, this all kind of, it was been happening, but the contract's now officially signed. We got some start dates that we're talking about. I was told by the network I can't really say too much, but I will as soon as they say everything.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, so it's going to force us into a new world together.
Okay.
You know, for the folks who don't have children and they're past that stage and then they get into complacency, how do you reignite the fire again? Like, what advice do you have for people to, you know, start dating later in life?
You mean when you're married?
When you're married, yeah.
You know, number one, I would say you can fan the flames of your love again, but be realistic about what that means. You're not going to get to the point where, like, you were on your third date 40 years ago, right? You're not going to feel that kind of adrenaline rush and butterflies.
But why? Was that not real?
Oh, it was real, but it's kind of finite. All those crazy and lust hormones last between 4 months and 4 years, but you can do a lot to get that back again. But again, be realistic. And so many people mistake love for lust, and this is how people start to have affairs. I think I'm really in love with the girl in the office because I'm feeling all that excitement again. No, that's just lust. So have your expectations leveled about what that means.
Do you attribute the divorce rate being so high that people don't decipher lust and love?
I think a lot of people don't understand what that means. And, you know, they get resentful of each other. They start to look for what's negative. And then someone cute comes along and they wink at you and they look interested in you. And you're like, wow, someone's paying me some attention. Somebody's calling me. Then the text starts. So, yeah, that is a very slippery slope to go down. But, yeah, a lot of that, I think, can be avoided if you work on your relationship and talk about it together and say, hey, you know what? Let's get this back on track, or let's really make this exciting again.
This is great. Folks, we're talking to Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. The topic is how to reignite the dating flame if you've been married for some time, or you're new married and you got young kids and you're trying to figure it all out. It's not an easy thing to navigate. And the strongest thing is having the right relationship and the right partner to kind of do this with. So we're going to learn more from Bella in a second. If you have any questions, by the way, please call us 312-981-7200. If you're in this situation or have gotten out of this situation and got unique ideas to contribute, we'd love to hear them. You can also text your ideas. That would be great. In the meantime, we have to take a quick break and we'll have news and more Bella after that. But hey, we're not talking about the Super Bowl. It's a happy day. Joining me today in studio is Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. We're talking about how to reignite the dating flame within your marriage, right? So you've been married maybe for quite some time, or you're newly married, got young kids, can't quite reconnect with the wife. You don't want to throw in the towel, though. You got to start dating again. And Bella is an expert in this world, and that's why I brought her in. Bella, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
So we were talking about reasons why people start having trouble when they're married and dating. Like, what are, in your opinion, are like the number one reasons why trouble starts and people stop dating when they're married?
You know, it's one of the things we were kind of chatting about off air. I think our brains naturally have what we call a negativity bias, right? And so in the beginning, when you're first dating, you only see what's positive. What do they say? Love is blind, right?
Sure.
But then as the years wear on, we start to skew more negatively. Well, she doesn't do this. He doesn't take the trash out. Yeah, that, that. And we start to look for what's negative. So when you're looking for what's negative, you only see that, and that's how you feel. So then we start nagging. We start criticizing. We get contemptuous with each other. So it's stop the madness. Go against your brain's natural grain and be present about being positive about each other. Why did you fall in love with this person? Why are you still with this person? And it takes a real mindfulness to step back and say, what do I love about this person?
Sure.
And be positive, because that negativity, I'll tell you what, that will feed every bad flame that you have going on.
It attracts more negativity to your life.
And exactly.
If you focus on constantly what you don't want, you will get exactly that, what you don't want.
And what you give, you get, right?
Right.
If I'm constantly, you know, hurling barbs at my husband, then he's going to be like, what's up with you?
Sure.
And then he's going to give that back to me. And that escalates and escalates. And after a while, that erodes.
Yeah.
It gets corrosive.
And the last thing you want to do is go on a date with that person.
Right. You're sitting there with your arms crossed like this, like staring at the waiter.
Right. And you see that all the time. So, like, all right, you know, we're out, and my wife and I play this game. We look at other couples or people, and we try to guess their life kind of thing. It's like a fun thing we do.
Right, like, oh, that's definitely a first date.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or, like, that guy hasn't said a word to his wife in 5 minutes.
Right.
What do you think their relationship's about?
And they're constantly on their phones for the entire date.
Sickening. I don't, when my wife and I go out, we put the phones in our pocket, and we try, unless the babysitter calls or texts or something like that, or my wife has to do like every 5 minutes check in with the babysitter, make sure nothing changed from the 5 minutes before.
From
that.
The 5 minutes before.
Right. But how about family? How much does the other family members get involved in this, you know, part of it? You know, like we had a text in about, you know, family intervening in their life, and that caused kind of the separation there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there is truth to the old adage that you don't marry a person, you marry their whole family, right?
Right.
And so I know definitely my parents come from India, and that's very much a part of our culture. Like, oh, just be careful. You got to know the whole family and see what they're like, because they're going to be involved in your life. So, you know, it's not so prevalent here, but family can definitely play a role in it. But what you have to do is have those close relationships with your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, whomever. But remember, your priority is your spouse. And you can't let their negativity about your spouse feed into your head. You've got to cut that stuff off and have boundaries about what you're allowed to talk about.
Sure. And how about money? Is money a top on the list for stressors and separation?
You know, they say money is the number one reason for divorce, right? And so, again, these are things. Now, let's flip it back, okay, for you single people out there listening. Remember, money is a big deal, and you can tell a lot about somebody's spending habits when you're dating them, right? You might be super frugal, but the person that you're dating is, you know, likes to live in the lap of luxury. So you knew what you were getting into when you got into this in the first place. So you've got to talk about these things and come to compromises.
But don't women think they could change every guy? I mean, isn't that part of your DNA?
Yeah, kind of. You know, we think, oh, you know what? I'm going to be the magic pill that's going to fix all of that. But I say, listen, what you see is what you get, right? Your date, the person you date becomes the person you marry. Right. And the person you, and that person is going to be who shows up every single day.
How about not being whole, though? You know, say when you met somebody, they were, I guess, appeared whole. And then as the relationship goes on, you realize there's more holes in that person than they are whole, if you
wow.
know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what happens in that situation? How do you continue to, you know, date and find love in within your marriage?
Look, if one of the partners isn't whole, it's going to be really difficult, right? Because,
yeah.
you know, it's like I tell people this, you know, trying to fill up another person is impossible. It's like trying to put sunlight into a black hole.
Sure.
What do you get? You get a black hole. That right. sunlight's never going to come out. So if that person isn't whole, the thing you can do to be a great partner is get that person to admit that there is a problem. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe there's other kinds of mental illness or issues, and get help individually and together.
Yeah. And how about just straight up being nice to people?
Oh.
You lose that when the comfort, you know, is there, and you're, the more you're married, the more comfortable, the more things you might have never said before you're saying now. Is that? I guess it's an obvious question, but is that important to be nice to your partner?
It's so
even though you may
important.
Be kidding and you, it may be somewhat facetious or backhanded.
It's so important. One, I'll tell you a funny story. I was in the elevator with my husband, and we were getting ready, or we were looking nice for an event. And there was an older gentleman who looked at me. He says, "Did your husband tell you how nice you looked?" I said, "No." He said, he looked at him, at my husband, and he said, "Tell your wife she looks good or someone else will."
Really?
And so my husband was like, you could hear this, the brakes screeching. So yeah, be nice, be kind. Not, how do I look? Fine. Right. Yeah. You look good. What? You
but
know?
I got to say, I mean, and the guys listening out there will probably, you know, vouch for me on this one. That's a double-edged sword. When a woman asks you, how do you look? I mean, you got to be, yes, the obvious answer is you look great. But that sometimes isn't always what a woman wants to hear. They want to hear specifics and maybe a little something different, right?
Well, if you want to stay in her good graces, if she says, how do I look? Or when she comes downstairs and she's ready and you know she's put in a lot of time getting ready, just say, you look really pretty. And find something that you like. Maybe she looks good in that blouse. Maybe her hair looks great. Find what's good.
Get
again, and be sincere.
Right.
Be specific. Like, you know what? Your hair looks great today. Or those shoes are awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my thing I do.
Look for what is good, people, and then say it. Be effusive with your praise. We all want to hear what's good, right? Human beings want validation at the end of the day. We want to feel like we're valued and important, especially by our spouses. So, right. Tell her she looks good or someone else will.
Right. That's a motivating factor. And then, so when you're on a date, all right, you get past all this stuff, you start being nice to each other, and you start dating again. What are some tips, you know, the guys can do that, or the gals, you know, to make sure that they're still sexy and still wanted and still, that's a really important thing. Like, people tend to forget about sex when they're married, and, you know, and you hear it all the time. It's a cliche thing.
You know what? That's such a great point that you bring up. People need, you've got to take a good hard look in the mirror and say, do I look like the person, you know, that I did when we were dating? You need to take care of yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, okay, am I doing my hair every day? You know, at least more than half the week, do I look dateable? And if you're
That's
not,
a good point.
You've got to go get yourself to the gym. Nobody's expecting you to have your banging beach bod after you've been married for 20 years, but you should be taking care of yourself, right? Because your spouse is looking at you every single day. Groom yourself. Do your hair, women. Do makeup. Dress yourself nicely, because the visuals are really important to guys. And for guys, the same thing. Dress up. Be hygienic. Be clean. You know how she likes to see you. Dress up. It's respectful.
Yeah. So I guess the takeaway from this is, remember who you were before you got married.
Yes.
Remember what attracted you
yes.
to that person.
Yes.
And start doing that again.
Yes. Be her boyfriend.
Yeah. Brilliant. Let's button it on that note. Bella, how can people get in touch with you?
SmartDatingAcademy.com.
Awesome. Bella's always great to have here. Bella Gandhi. And you're going to be on TV real soon? Is that, you got a bunch of appearances coming up because your holiday, basically.
Yeah, Valentine's Day
is coming up.
That's like
everywhere.
Christmas for dating.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on this week. So you can like our page on Facebook at Smart Dating Academy or follow us on Instagram. We're always posting little videos. We've been doing a great series lately called Dating PSAs, Dating Public Service Announcements. So So, you know, send us a request on Facebook and you can see these PSAs on a daily basis.
What's been one of your favorite PSAs so far?
So dating PSA number one was butterflies are typically bad when you're dating.
Ooh.
Right. So we think butterflies are good, right? We're acculturated to say, oh, I've got these butterflies.
It must mean something.
Right. Yeah. Usually, if your stomach's kind of flipping over and you're feeling that churning, it's fear and anxiety. So we date backwards. We're looking for the wrong things.
So are the butterflies telling you, get the hell out of here?
Yeah, danger, Will Robinson. Get your Nikes on and run. So that was dating PSA number one.
Interesting. Well, folks, if you want to see more of the dating PSAs, follow Smart Dating Academy on Instagram as well as Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, and we've got a free ebook right now. So if you go to our site, Smart Dating Academy, it's about getting online the right way. So lots of great information in there. It's right on our cover page at smartdatingacademy.com.
Bella, you rock. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll have more after that.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, welcome back, folks. We're in the home stretch here. Thanks for tuning in the whole show. We've done our best to not talk about that football game that's happening, and I think we've won, right, Ross?
We have, but Mark Harmon and Adam Hoge with The Beat will be talking plenty about that next.
Fantastic. They can kill it all day long.
Exactly.
That's their world. Joining me right now is Rob. I don't even have his Rob, what's your last name?
My last name is Richmond.
Richmond. Rob Richmond from the Lisa app. And Rob was giving me a little bit of a little tutorial before we got on the air here. But Rob, why don't we finish this conversation on air? What is Lisa app?
The Lisa app is the first open marketplace in the beauty industry that connects artists to clients in real time through live geolocation technology.
Now, so, when you say artist, makeup artist, or are you talking about?
We're talking about all the beauty disciplines in our five beauty disciplines, which is hair, nails, makeup, massage, and estheticians.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you can book for on-demand services, so somebody could be at your door within 1 hour.
Right.
Or you can book for future appointments.
Well, because it's funny, cause I didn't know this when Ross, you know, we booked you and stuff. We're filming a new show. I mentioned this earlier. And we're in the process of looking for a makeup artist.
Oh,
and we're auditioning folks for the show. So the Lisa app will be on my phone.
Well, what's cool about that, too, is, you know, not only will you find a bunch of makeup artists, you know, on our platform right now, but you'll be able to see the ratings. You'll be able to see the reviews. You'll be able to see before and after pictures that they've posted through their professional Instagram account. So it gives you a really good idea of what their talent set is.
Now, so will, if I'm a makeup artist listening or a stylist or something and want to get my profile up there, what's the process?
The process is simple. You know, first of all, you can go to our website at lisaapp.com and download for either iOS or Android, or just go directly to the stores. Then there's a verification process because all of the artists on our platform are licensed through the IDFPR except makeup artists because there's no licensure board. So the makeup artists, we run a separate background check on them. But outside of that, if they're licensed in good standing and we push them through the process and accept them, they're good to go on the platform.
That's great. Is there a fee to sign up?
There's no fee. It's a completely free app for artists and consumers to sign up for. That's what's so special about it. I mean, it's literally pay to play for the artists.
Now, are you the developer yourself?
I'm the founder and CEO, yes.
Got it. What's the motivation? Why did you choose this industry to put your technology to use?
Well, that's a great question. You know, Lisa is named after my wife, whose name is Lisa.
And how cute.
Yes, very cute. And she's been an artist in the industry for 23 years. So I've helped her manage her practice, and I realized how difficult it was as she started to grow and scale her practice for her to keep a majority of the profits coming in the door if she was working at a salon or a spa where they typically take between 40 and 60% commission for every transaction.
Sure.
But when she went off onto her own and created an at-home salon, which I helped her do, running the back end was really difficult for her. We call them artists for several reasons. First of all, they really are artists. What they do with nails, you know, and a brush and you know, scissors is incredible. And you know, they're also artists because they're right brain, they're creatives. They don't love the back end of the business, the numbers and the schedules and the taxes and the insurance. So Lisa created this back end infrastructure for the artist to be able to run their practice without having to worry about any of that.
So does it do the booking for you?
It does everything. Live booking, future booking, all payments go through the app. So
really?
Yeah, if I'm a client, I press a button, I call an artist, I pay them right directly through the app.
So when you sign up as a consumer, are you putting in your credit card and...
That's an awesome question. And actually, no, you're not. You do not put your credit card in until you decide to make a purchase decision. So you can shop around in our system, see who's available in your area, see who for any discipline you want. And then once you decide to make the booking, that's when you put in your credit card information.
Got it. And let's say I make the booking, I put my information in, my kid gets sick, I can't make it. Is there a cancellation policy?
There is a cancellation. Right now, there's no cancellation fee, which is being built into the app. The artists will be able to dictate what that cancellation policy is. I mean, really, at the end of the day, we've created a platform for them to run their own business entrepreneurially. We do not set their prices. We do not set where they work, when they work, or who they work with. So the artists can continue to work with their existing client base through the app or find new clients through the Live Geo technology.
And this is applicable for somebody who has a salon as well? So would it be just for the at-home stylist or for anybody who's, say you got a full-time job? Would this be an addition to booking?
Yeah, you can look at it a few different ways, actually. Great questions.
My mother was a hairstylist.
These are great questions. And you know what's great about the app is it is an open marketplace. We've created a true open marketplace exchange. So artists don't have to go on demand if they don't want to. They can set up in their own spa or salon location if they rent a booth, and they could drive clients right to them. They can also go on demand and go to other clients' homes or offices if they choose. So you know, for the salon and spa industry, you might look at this as, hey, you're another disruptor of brick and mortar.
Right.
And, you know, the reality is, you know, the salons and spas are not in the greatest shape in the world. They're sitting with 40% of their booths sitting empty every day. And we're going to be
overhead of a brick and mortar.
Absolutely. And right. We're going to be able to have a solution for the salon owners very soon, which is called Booth Finder. So I'm an artist. I don't want to work out of your house because maybe that's weird for me. And I don't want to work out of my location because I'm not set up for it. I go into the Lisa app. I tap Booth Finders. It geopins my location, then pops pins all around me. This booth is $10 an hour. This one is $300 for the week. This one's $1,200 for the month.
Right.
So I book that. The salon owner gets paid, and my clients are now geoed right to that location.
And that's great for somebody with a following. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because currently, you know, the current setup is these artists who are incredibly trained at what they do are paying 40 to 60% per transaction. And,
right.
And that's incredible. And, you know, the scary facts of the beauty industry are the average artist earns $23,000 a year in a $100 billion a year industry.
Wow.
And it's because a lot of their back end is being taken care of by the salons and spas, but they are paying dearly for that. And we've created that for them so they don't have to worry about it anymore.
And let's talk marketing. Do you provide any kind of marketing platform for the individual artist?
Absolutely. First of all, we've got the star and reviews on there for the artists, all verified reviews, plus their Instagram account that links up directly. They're professional. So they can market themselves through that. But down the road, because we just launched, that's absolutely going to be folded in. So if they want to send out, say, they notice their book is light on a Thursday, they can send out a notification to all their clients through the app saying, hey, half price beard trims on Thursday or half price nail art on Thursday. And it'll go directly to their consumers. Yeah.
And I don't know if this applies at all, but I'm a big at home care person. I have a really busy schedule during the weekend. So for me to drive 40 minutes, a half hour, 20 minutes to a hair salon, which I do now, and I love my stylist. but at times, I've actually asked her to come over. You know, I could almost see a service like this being almost an Uber of hairstyling or makeup artist or something where you could actually say, hey, this person be willing, ping it in your area. And come to mind, would they do that? I mean, is that service?
That's absolutely part of the service, yeah. If you go onto the app right now and you tap, I want to get hair now at my place, it'll populate all the artists on Live Geo technology that are surrounding you right now, ready to come and give you an at-home service.
You know how many women right now are standing up screaming in their homes listening
well,
to this?
Yeah.
And some men, for that matter.
Well, because think about this. Think about, this simple use case. My sister's having a glass of wine with her four girlfriends on a Friday night. The kids are in bed. And they're like, you know what? You want to get some manicures right now? Pedicures, they tap a button, they've got artists over at their house giving it, and it turns into a
boom.
Different party.
I mean,
boom.
Huge.
But for men as well, I mean, listen, there are barbers on our platform. You want to get a straight raise, you want to get a haircut, whatever you want, they'll come to you, or you can go to them. It's totally up to you.
I dig it. I mean, that side of it's really cool where it becomes a personalization, style app where, you know, I don't have to leave my home. Or no, like you said, I'm hanging out with boys, having a cigar, and, you know, and they want to get a mani-pedi and don't want to feel awkward going into a salon as a guy. You know, that's a, it's a far few between where you see guys actually sitting there amongst, you know, 30 women.
You're totally right.
At a little nail salon.
Yeah, a lot of guys, and we've done some research on this, a lot of men have not, who have not gotten manicures, pedicures, it's because they're uncomfortable to walk into a salon or spa to get that done. But if their wife or girlfriend, or if they're by themselves and they're like, you know what, it's Friday at 5 and I want to get a manicure at my house, they can now do it in the comfort of their own home.
Super cool, Rob. I love it. So where can people find more information about Lisa App?
They can go to lisaapp.com, or they can go download us from both iOS and Android.
So you're in iTunes right now?
We're in iTunes right now, and we're going to be making our major push to the consumers at the end of February. We're open for business right now. But right, and here's a good stat. We projected 180 artists on our platform by the end of January, and we're at 760 just in Chicago.
Good for you.
So it's great, but we have to educate them and get them up and running as their own business.
Sure. It's good stuff, Rob. I'd like to keep tabs on this. I'm definitely going to download the app and tell my wife about it as soon as I get out of here.
Oh, that's great.
She's going to dig it.
And your boys.
Well, totally. I mean, we have two young kids at home that
it
makes it hard for us to get out of the house sometimes.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect app. Rob, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll chat with the boys from The Beat real quick, see what's going on with that game that's happening, and we'll wrap it up after that. All right, folks, well, that about does it for me. You could visit us at frankfontana.net. We're here every Sunday from 1 to 3. Let's see. I guess I could give in here at the end of the show. Guys, what's happening with the football game that's going on? Anything? Did it even start yet?
Frank, do you really not know what time the Super Bowl starts?
Mark, I could be honest with you. I purposely take care. I literally, you can ask Ross, have not had it on any of the televisions. I made a vow to not speak of this game.
But it's not on yet, Frank.
It starts.
There you go.
It starts at 5:30, which is why.
I respect this, by the way. This is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
This ties in perfectly with our conversation, because we're going to start by asking how many people are watching their first football game this year.
Right.
Today.
Or not watching.
Are you looking for that?
Are you going to watch?
No, so here's the truth. We are having a gathering of family. The game might be on. I personally have zero interest, though. Zero. Like, I know the whole world, and what a sin. I'm not watching it, but I don't care, quite honestly.
Do you know who's playing?
Carolina and I think Denver.
Correct. You know, can you name one player on either team? This is not. This is, by the way, there's no wrong
quarterback guy.
Who's the quarterback guy?
He's on Denver. He's won a couple.
He does the pizza commercials.
He does the pizza commercials, and does he also do the?
He's got a brother.
Nationwide's on our side. Yeah, is that him or his brother?
Him. No, that's him.
That's him.
I can't tell you, Peyton Manning. There you go.
That's the guy.
Yeah. Listen.
What about the other guy? He's African American. People don't like him. He does the dab.
Dude, you are talking to the wrong.
His first name rhymes with Yam.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, it is.
That would only be because Ross told me.
Bit.
I just sold myself.
Leave it to Ross just to ruin a solid bit we're having here.
Anyway, guys, enjoy. You'll be on during the show, or
we're kind of taking the audience up to the Super Bowl. So this is essentially a local pregame show that we're doing.
And I'll be listening because I have no clue. Obviously,
you can learn about the players that are playing in the game. We really won't get too hardcore in breaking down the game, but
can I just ask before we part here? Are you guys both rooting for the same team?
No, we don't. Neither of us care who wins. I'm guessing. Adam, do you care? I'd like to see Carolina win, actually.
Yeah,
but
I'm
really
kind of on
care.
The Carolina side with all the Bears connections. Ron Rivera, former 85 Bear.
It's just a point in time, Frank, for people to bond. Men, women, children, grandparents.
This is not Christmas, Mark.
Well, it is a little bit. For
some people,
it's
I guess
Christmas
it
for the sports fan.
Yeah, I got it. All right, guys, you have a good show.